So it's very likely that along the way you've heard people make fun of Southerners, well, in general, but specifically for the expression, bless your heart. So the old saying is in the South that you can say anything about anyone as long as you follow it by bless his or her heart. As one of my mom's favorite expressions, he is ugly as homemade sin, bless his heart. The equivalent, more broadly in our culture, is no offense, but. Have you ever used that phrase? It allows us to say things that we might not say in a polite way otherwise, but we can still say it. No offense, but this cookie's a little overbaked. No offense, but that sweater is not the best for you. No offense, but you cannot sing and need to sit down and be quiet. We can say things when we say no offense, but that we would not say otherwise. And the thing about saying no offense, but is that it is always followed by something negative. You never hear someone say, no offense, but you look great. No offense, but wow, that was what a beautiful hymn you just sang. No offense, but wow, look at the beautiful decorations here today. We don't say things like that. So that's why when I read the passage that Earl just read from the gospel, I was struck when I heard this line. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. No offense, but the blind see. No offense, but the deaf hear. No offense, but the dead live. Is that offensive? No offense, but the poor have good news. It doesn't sound that offensive to me. This week, I was listening to our old radio station from California and heard a piece on Lancaster, California. This week in Lancaster, there was a public forum to discuss a proposed bill for the city that would ban feeding people in public places. So it would ban church groups or other volunteer agencies or even individuals from feeding the homeless in parks, in city streets, even on city sidewalks. And as you can imagine, there was quite a lively debate about this happening in City Hall that day in Lancaster. And I started looking into this a bit more and found that there's actually a growing movement to restrict what some would call the social impact of homelessness. Around the country, there are dozens of cities that have laws like this, that you cannot feed people in public places. There are many cities with laws and codes against people sleeping in their cars. Even many restrictions on when and where and how shelters may be set up. In Dallas right now, it is even illegal for non-registered approved faith communities to open their doors as a shelter. Just this past November, there was a cold streak, freezing weather in Dallas, and there were churches that made the choice, despite the city law, to open up their doors. One faith community leader was interviewed and said, "We're not a shelter. We don't want to be a shelter, and we fully support the city's efforts to create standardized and healthy and regulated shelters for the homeless in our broader community. But as long as people are dying on the streets, our doors will be open 24/7 for people to come in. The common argument in favor of these kinds of laws is that that feeding and other services that are provided to these at-risk populations can increase the spread of disease if not properly regulated. Communities worry about risk of violence. They are concerned about various proper safety measures. They're concerned about the increase in garbage that shows up when there are homeless encampments, and even the increase in urine and feces that show up. There is a point to some of this. Homelessness, poverty, it's offensive. Last year in California, there was a huge outbreak of hepatitis A. Around 20 people died from it, all within the homeless community. Mental illness is rampant in the homeless community, and even those who did not start out with mental illness oftentimes experience PTSD and other illnesses along the way. When you cannot shower, you become dirty and smelly. Garbage is increased, as is human excrement. I'm looking at Jenny. Everybody say hi, Jenny. Jenny is a former student of mine, and we were in San Francisco this past spring break last year working at Glide Memorial Church, which is a church that has a huge feeding program. And one of the things they do every morning is wash down the sidewalk because it's dirty. But let's be honest. Humans are dirty. We are offensive when we do not have access to basic human needs. John the Baptist certainly was offensive in this way. I mean, the guy lived in the wilderness. He wore camel clothes and ate weird things. And in the part of the story where we show up today, he's also in prison. Now, as you might expect, a first century prison is not a particularly sanitary environment. It's also not a place where people stay very long. In the first century Roman Empire, if you went to prison, you were awaiting your trial, at which point you would either be freed, exiled, or executed. We've already gone over the fact that John was kind of an offensive guy with his whole brood of vipers shtick. So he probably had a pretty good sense of how things were going to end up for him. So it's in this time, when John has been arrested, when he knows his ministry is at an end, that he sends word to Jesus of Nazareth and says, "Are you the one? I know God told me to prepare the way for someone. Is it you?" Jesus responds, "The blind receive sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Jesus also offended. He offended people when he ate with tax collectors and sex workers. He offended people when he healed on the Sabbath, breaking Sabbath laws and restrictions. He even offended someone for healing him. The lame beggar that Jesus healed was angry that Jesus healed him and went to the temple to complain about it. Jesus' ways were startling. They turned things upside down, and they offended people. At this Advent time of year, this Christmas time of year, it's more than acceptable, it's almost even expected that we would be a bit more charitable, a bit more giving. And in fact, this is the time of year when places like homeless shelters find that there's an abundance of food that is delivered to their doors. Nursing homes have many, many more visitors. People stand in the street ringing bells, inviting others to remember to give generously, to support the poor and the vulnerable who are around us. But the work of the kingdom, the messy, hard work, Jesus' work, is not just an Advent practice for those of us of the Christian faith. The nuts and bolts, the down and dirty work of Jesus is just that. It's the down and dirty work. It's getting on our hands and knees and scrubbing. It's reaching out our hands and touching those whom we find offensive. It's reaching out our resources and giving and welcoming. When I was a seminary intern in San Francisco, one of the things the church did fairly regularly was provide a meal at a homeless shelter. And this whole process was run by a woman named Carol. Carol was a retired home ec teacher, and she took hospitality seriously. She planned the meal and the menu perfectly. Each family in the church was assigned a specific homemade from scratch recipe that you were to follow to the T to deliver hot and ready to go. The ham would be garnished with greens. There would always be a vegetarian option for anyone who did not want pork. And the spread was spectacular, as good as any holiday feast I've ever been to. And Carol always said, "We are not providing our brothers with anything less than we would provide at our own table." And I'll never forget that. I learned that from Carol. The importance of treating each and every individual as a sister or brother in Christ. Of not saying, "Well, this will do. This is my almost expired can from the pantry I haven't used." But rather, this is the feast that we are able to share with our kin in Christ. After we would serve all of the guests at the shelter, we would get our own meals and go and sit and eat with them. I was 23, 24, a little awkward. I'd never been in a big city, and I'd certainly never sat and eaten a meal with 8 homeless guys. Some were quite chatty and welcoming, and others looked at me as if to say, "No offense, little white girl, but what are you doing here?" No offense, but Jesus came for the hungry and thirsty, the dirty, the homeless, the undesirable. No offense, but Jesus came that every person in our community might have life and have it abundantly. No offense, but Jesus has called us to love one another and serve one another, every other person as sibling in Christ. And that's messy work. It's hard work. Sometimes it's even offensive work. And yet it's the work that we are called to do, because the reign of Christ is not just something that happens in the future. It is right now, moving amongst us in our world. And when we love in that generous way, we participate in that reign. When we give, when we love as Christ did, all of our hearts are blessed. Amen.